potential to receive a multitude of words and spirits. And because in the beginning everything was perverted by a word, the garden was perverted by a word, a false word. Received a false word, received a false spirit, received. What is our protection? How can we be saved, delivered, kept? I have hid your word, your word in my heart. So then, words are what we live by, grow by, are clean by, exist in, be healthy by. What?
The word is by.
Okay. John 15. You are clean. That's the key right there.
Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can you accept you abide in me.
Right. You are clean because of what? The word that I spoke. Okay, now, that gets me. Okay, go ahead.
If you abide in me, and my words abide in you.
My words. Okay. Okay. So, you are clean because of the word. And if that word, now this is a great scripture, because what does he say? If my words abide, what does that tell us? That tells us we can lose it. That tells us that the word that made us clean, we can lose that word. How do we lose God's words? Receiving another word in its place. Okay, now listen to this. You all at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now Paul starts this off, and this is kind of interesting. Do I need... And he says, we's... talking in the third person, but he doesn't need to say that, but he's writing that way, which is fine. Do I need to again begin to commend myself before you? Do I need, as others request, letters from others so that I'll be approved in your presence? You see what he's saying? He says, we don't need that. We don't need letters of accommodation. We don't need letters of reference. Because you are our epistles. You are the demonstration and existence of our words. You are living examples of the words that we have spoken that you have received. You are the manifestation of the words which we have spoken and you have received. You see that? That's what he's saying, verse 1 and 2. And verse 3, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the letters of Christ, written by us, with the Spirit of the living God, not with ink. Not in tables of stone, but in your hearts. You are living pieces of paper, living words, living epistles, living books, written by us through the Spirit, the living Spirit of Jesus Christ. You are the demonstration that He lives by our words that have created you to be what you are. That's what He's saying. Now, we're not sufficient of ourselves in this. We didn't create you. That's what He's saying in verse 5. Our sufficiency, in other words, we supply these things to you because of the living God. And I can say that to many of you and not be out of bounds here. You are living epistles because of the living word that came through me to you. And the words that you have received of Christ through me, you live by. And every time you fall and start your downward spiral, when you allow those living words to come back to you and to get in your consciousness and to get in the forefront of your mind, and you begin to focus on those words which you have received from the Holy Ghost, you start pulling out of your doldrums. And you start getting right again.
Yeah.
And the process begins again, and you leave thankful, happy, joyful, right? Do you see this? This is good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, verse 6. Who has made us able, and that word able is like sufficient or capable ministers of the Spirit. It says ministers of the new what? The new covenant, the new testament, the new contract, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. So you can read this, verse 6, He has made us able ministers of the Spirit. And the Spirit gives life. Now here's my point. My point is, I'm a minister of the Spirit to you. And this is where we miss it a lot of times. Because I'm speaking to where you are deficient spiritually, and you're not hearing me. Because the words that I give you, the words that I'm giving to you that aren't my words, the words that come to me from the Holy Ghost that you get, you listen like you're listening tonight. You write things down like you're writing tonight, and then when this meeting's over and these lights go out, you go home. That's where it stays, is in your notebook. You know how come I know that? Well, no change, but no talkie-talkie. I don't hear anybody talking to us about anything that was talked about, preached, taught, shared, whatever fits your fancy, the last meeting back. Nobody comes with, very few times does anybody come with revelation. A lot of times in my next meeting, like if we do Thursday or we do Friday night, couples are going to say, well, what did everybody think about, you know, Saturday night? Everybody go through their notes. There's no, and you know why that's so bad? Because the word that came, you didn't receive. You heard it and wrote it down. You didn't receive it. Don't deceive yourself. You didn't receive it. I could go to any of you here, and if we went to a movie together, I'd say, what did you think about the movie? Boom, right away. Oh, well, that's the other thing. I could take you out to dinner. Your favorite restaurant, whatever that is. Except, Andre, we're not going to McDonald's. And I could say, how did you enjoy dinner? Oh, gosh, that steak was great. I love that place. Da, da, da. What is that? You received the spirit of that experience. I'm not saying that's bad. But are not the things of God that mold and direct the destiny of your eternal life as important as the damn steak you ate? Or the movie you went to? Hello? Oh, yes! That's a good one. I never read it, but... Yeah? Well, you know, okay, I'll tell you what you just said. What she just said is, and here's what we do. We read and we try to understand without having something imparted to our spirit first. Understanding follows revelation. It's not the other way around. You're never going to get an understanding to anything that you don't have a revelation to. And that's what she's saying. You have to have received something in your spirit and in your heart. You have to have had your heart quickened. And with the quickening of your heart, what does that cause you to do? When you get your heart quickened, you start praying, you start talking, you start looking further in the Word, and what happens? And you start walking in what you're seeing. I'll never forget when I came to Jesus. I mean, I was a blank page, spiritually and religiously and church-wise. Blank page. The church I went to spoke in Latin, so I didn't understand a thing they said. So when I came to Jesus, I was a blank page. But I want to tell you what. Every day I was hearing from the Spirit, I was reading the Word, and things were quickening my spirit and my heart. And it did. It woke the dead man up. The dead man was the man that was yet to be born. And when he was born, he had to be fed. And I was alive in this Word. His Word burned within me. I was 3 days in hibernation in my apartment after I got filled with the Spirit. 3 days nobody saw me. I was reading. Here's a guy that never read anything. I never even read the menu. I just told them what I wanted. If it was on the menu, I got it. I mean, I'm not kidding you. And that's exactly right. The process, we get it backwards. We sit and try to reason things out in our mind and understand things. Jesus said, you'll know of my doctrine by what? Doing it. If you want to know about the doctrine, if you want to understand the doctrine, the teaching, do it. You'll understand it. No doing, no understanding. That's for the Korean crowd. Now listen to what he says. He says, we're ministers of what? The Spirit. My words are spirit and life. That's what Jesus said. There's a spirit of life. Why do you like coming to meetings? Why? What is it about the quality or the dynamic about meetings like this that you enjoy? How many of you leave here going, oh, geez, I'm so depressed. I know I'm never going to walk with the Lord. And you know, I mean, that doesn't happen. You leave these meetings, and when I sit down and spend time with you personally, you leave with some faith in your wallet. You leave with you know what, I can do this. But the problem is you don't keep that word. You don't know how to keep that spirit. It leaks out. Most of you, it's gone before you get to your car. You've got to, you know what? The kingdom of God suffers violence, and a violent take it by force. You've got to possess it. If the Lord said it, it's true. It doesn't matter how you feel. Yeah. And now you got to receive it. You got to eat it. Some of you are good at that. Some of you are good at eating. You have an abundance of flesh. And that flesh is there because you're receiving on a continual basis.
You can do it. True.
You can do it. If you had a tenth as much hunger for this as for the things you put in your mouth, the things that you put in front of your eyes, the things that you sympathize yourself with, if you had a tenth as much of a hunger for this as you did for that, your body, your soul, and your spirit would change. Because when you start receiving His words, you change. You know what people say all the time? I don't know if I can change. You know what they're saying? I don't know if I can eat that. I don't know if I can eat that. That's what we're saying. And really what we say in the heart, and I want you to say what you're going to say, but really what we're saying is, I don't know if I believe that. That's a little demon speaking. You know, you don't have to raise your hand, but I know that probably almost everybody here at times has sat in meetings going, I don't know if I believe that. And you know, you're not saying that. That's the guy that lives in you that set up residence, and you don't even recognize that he's your enemy. Man, if that ever comes, if I'm reading out of the Word, and I'm speaking to you about the Word, and I got you verse in Scripture, you know, I'm saying I'm a minister of the Spirit. Well, I don't know if I believe that. You need to get right up and say, excuse me, and go outside and vomit him out. Go outside and say, you are not welcome here. Now, you don't have to do that, actually do that. But maybe it wouldn't hurt to do it. You might be surprised if you were that real about the enemy that speaks to you. Because as long as he lives, as long as he can speak that voice, well, I don't know if I believe that. You know, well, that's all right, but, you know, the but spirit. The but spirit. What were you going to say? I'm sure. No, that's good. I know. I hope somebody, anybody else here got things coming to you?
Because
except Pat.
Whoever gives the word. I mean, for me, one of the things that hurt, where I realized I was really in bad shape, was when people told me to really feel like I was a friend with them. And I realized that because I hadn't received the word, I had to receive her, and it's that independent spirit in me that has kept me from it.
You know what you are if you're not a friend? No. Now you are my friend. What were they before? Slaves. The word is slaves. They were slaves to sin, as all of us were, and some of us still are. And that's an oxymoron, too. That's just a moron. Any Christian, any spirit-filled Christian, is still a slave to sin is a moron. And they could change that position I won't name names. Maybe I will. No, I won't. Why, do you know that preacher called this guy a moron right in church? But you know, if you're a slave to sin and you're a spiritual Christian, you are a moron. Because it doesn't fit. And it's only that way because it's the way you want it. Now, you know what? The day that somebody would stand up and say, you know, just forgive me, I love to lust. I love lusting after women. It drives me nuts. I know it's a dead-end street, but I love it. Jesus, help me. I'd give him a free pen set. Without even coming forward. And receiving Jesus. I'd give him a free pen set. Because that's the kind of honesty that the Lord wants. Until you get to that place, nothing's changing. And I want to get back to this. Well, I don't know if I can change. You know, and I've had people ask, I just want to slap when they do this. And I don't. I've never slapped. Well, I can't say that. The only people I've ever slapped geographically come from the same place. So, and there's very few of those people around. But do you know how stupid it sounds when people say, "How do you change? How do you change?" Now I know a couple of you are thinking, "But yeah, that was my question." But see, I'm not going to slap you. I love you. What?
Here, also a young man in the way.
Yeah.
By taking heed to the word.
Thank you.
That's what the word
by, you know what taking heed means? It means hearing and obey. When it says heed, take heed, heed means in the Greek to hear and obey. That's what heed means. It's like heed the stop sign. That doesn't mean see it and go through it. Heed means to hear and obey. Okay? If you want to change, eat the word. Receive it. You will change whether you want to or not. I'm telling you. I've told a couple of people, well, I've told a lot of people over my life because I've been involved in my younger years. I worked for Jack LaLanne in his health spa, health club system. And I used to work people out and run people out and run people in. You know, I've always got these people, well, I don't know if that'll work for me. This was before cloning. And maybe for clone people it won't work. But if you're, you know, if you have a father, you know, if you were born through the natural means, it'll work for you. If you have genes and XY chromosomes and all of that, it'll work for you. You know. That's right. She put gene on. She receives gene, and it changed her. Genesis, Genesis, that's my book. Changed my life. Created my life. And those words create us. Those words create us. But when you think, you know, well, I don't know if that'll work for me, you need to go outside and vomit. Because it will work for you. I say, if you receive the words of God, you will change whether you know it or not. You know, I've also had people come, well, I've changed and I don't know why my wife doesn't see it. You know? I've changed and I don't know why people don't see it. Yeah, we probably do have that on video. But you know what? I never thought that way. as a Christian. I never thought that way because I didn't involve myself. The Lord kept me from all that religious funny business that went on in the church. And so I just changed and didn't know it. I looked at the same guy in the mirror. I mean, when I looked in the mirror, I didn't really see someone who was changing. When I looked in the mirror, I saw someone I pretty much didn't like. But when I went home, when I got around people who knew me, they didn't know me anymore. And I didn't change because I wanted to. See, I wasn't smart enough to sit down and figure it out and decide, okay, we've got problems in this area, Gene, so we need to go with the Lord and change these things. And, you know, you need to be saying thank you and please more, and so we need to change that. We need to quit saying damn and hell a lot because, you know, that offends a Christian, so we need to change that. I mean, I didn't think that way. I really didn't. I didn't go through all of that. All I did was ate the Word. I ate the Word. And I changed so much that the people who knew me the best were blown away by how I changed. And I didn't, as God is my witness, consciously, I did never set out to change. And I think those of you who are trying to change the most are the most self-righteous. Really. Those of you that are trying to change and hoping to change and looking to change and looking at others and say, have I changed? You are the self-righteous ones among us who are changing, but you're getting worse. You're changing into worse of a bitch, worse of a liar, worse, because you've got your hands all over your life. Okay, so, verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? You see, what goes on in a lot of the Church of Jesus Christ is the ministration of words. Now, we know that words are everything. But if the words don't have the right spirit, the ministration of the Spirit doesn't happen. In order for the ministration of the Spirit to go on in a meeting, the one who's ministering has to have a consciousness of the leading of the Spirit as the meeting progresses. To have a consciousness of my doctrine, my message, my 7-point sermon is not a consciousness of following the leading of the Spirit. It's night and day. It's the difference between giving a spiritless message that tickles people's intellectual fancies and adds to their base and knowledge, to feeding people and confronting people and conflicting people in their spirit, man. That's the difference. Is that I'm a minister of the Spirit. I'm ministering to you from the Spirit and of the Spirit. That's why at times you feel uncomfortable, at times you feel life, and that's how come we can go from one thing to the other without me being concerned about losing my 7 points. Because the ministry of the Spirit is to individually and corporately feed you so and give you something that you individually and corporately can receive and eat so that you can be added to. And that's what he's saying. The ministry of the Spirit is so much more glorious than the ministry of words, the letter of the law, so much more that the ministration of righteousness exceeds in glory the ministration of the law. And verse 9, he says, for the ministration of condemnation, the ministration of just the law, the condemns, if that was glorious, which it was, Moses came down from the mountain and gave the law, and the people of Israel couldn't even look upon his face. Not because he ministered the law, but because he had the glory of God on him. But they couldn't hear the words either, because they were all rebellious. They had no law, no truth in them. And so when Moses came down, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. All these things, this just, they couldn't hear it. They could not hear it. They were so lost and without law, they could not hear it. And that's why God destroyed a bunch of them right there on the spot. To put fear in them and say, by the way, folks, this is the way we're going to walk. It is going to be this way. And a whole generation died off in the wilderness because they could not change. They could not receive. They could not eat of the words. It took a whole other generation to get to the place where they could hear truth, where they could receive straight talk. Guess what? You're there. You're there, but you risk leveling out by not taking these words to heart. Now that's the book she was telling us about. Taking a word to heart means that that word stays with you. And when somebody comes up to you and says, what do you think of the meeting? You'll have three or four things to say without saying, what meeting? Well, Saturday night meeting. Oh, Saturday night meeting. Now, what was that about again? And have to get you cranked back up and get your thing back. Oh, yeah. I was talking about the Word and how everything we are because of the Word that we receive. Oh, yeah, that was good. And you're being honest, that was good. What good did it do you? No good. No good. Be honest with yourself. It did you no good. Because you didn't take that word and decide that this week, I'm going to see what is in me. I'm going to take a spiritual inventory in my life this week, and I'm going to see what I believe. What do I believe? I must believe that eating 6 donuts a day is okay, because I do. I must believe that, and go down the list. And look in the mirror and see what's in front of you. See who's looking back at you. And see, and then decide that, you know what, Jesus, please speak to me. James says, if you lack what? Which is what? A word. Good. You're thinking in the right direction. If you lack a word, ask who? Ask the Lord. And he will give it to you. Won't rebuke you.